Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format helps you learn at your own pace and fit earning a degree into your life. From before you enroll to after you graduate, you'll be supported by people who are invested in your success. So you can pursue your goals knowing that help is available if you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Oh, hey, this is an episode of Smologies. And if you are unfamiliar, Smologies are shorter and classroom safe, kid friendly versions of our classic episodes. So this has been cut down. A lot of my potty mouth and the juicier details have also been removed. So if you want the full episode, you can find it in the link in the show notes. But this one's safe for the whole car. All right, cool. Enjoy. Hey, it's me. It's your hairdresser's daughter with the cool perm, Allie Ward. I'm here with another episode of Ologies. Are you ready to hair trickology? Yes, you are. You wispy beast. Let's do it. Okay. Trickology, the study of hair. Here we are. So thrick means hair in Greek, which morphed into trick, which means hair. So I'm going to give you a super quick overview to give you some context for this episode. So hair, it's made of three parts. There's an inner part called a medulla. Then around it, there's a cortex, which contains keratin. That's protein. It makes it strong. And it also contains different kinds of melanin pigments that give it color. And then there's an outer cuticle. It looks like a series of overlapping scales, kind of like a pangolin. And it repels water. You got your vellus hair. That's your fine, barely visible peach fuzz, unless you're standing in bright light at a barbecue. And then you're like, can everyone see my face hair? And terminal hair, that's the big wiry guys. So boom, you know a lot about hair right now. Okay, so in this episode of Trichology, I sat down with a Yale researcher and professor who focuses on skin and hair regeneration. So I met her through an internet pal and ologite, Aaron Herdman, who I got to meet in three dimensions when he and this ologist came to California. Aaron sat in on the interview, so you may hear him chuckling a little bit here and there, shifting in his seat. But this ologist sports a blonde bob and a very down-to-earth southern ease, and I was just thrilled to have them over to talk about mammalian hair trends and growing hair and losing hair and then regrowing hair and lightening it, loving it, hating it, all the things in between. You're never going to look at your own furry body quite the same. So please get ready to run your fingers through this next episode, all about hair, with trichologist Valerie Horsley. Smologies. Smologies. Yeah, just hold it like an ice cream cone.
Okay.
You could, I'll check your levels.
Valerie Horsley.
Doctor.
Doctor.
Now, what is your title? What's your official title?
Associate Professor in Molecular, Cellular, and Developmental Biology and Dermatology.
I saw that on the Yale website and I was like, she has so many words in her title. Can you explain a little bit about what you do?
Yes. So I'm a professor at Yale. So I wear lots of hats. I run a lab, which is like running a small business. And our product is the science we produce and discover. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly in the regeneration of skin and hair. And then I teach undergraduates introductory cell biology.
But now you work with trichology.
Correct.
And when I found this out, I lost my mind. And why hair and skin?
So I'm very interested in how the tissues in our bodies maintain themselves. So most of our lives were pretty okay. We're not sick. Yeah. And how does that work? Because our cells and our skin and our hair are constantly regenerating.
Now, okay, dispel a myth. Like every 7 years, are you a completely new person? Like, do you regenerate enough where you're like, I'm the same person, but I'm all different cells?
So it depends on the tissue. Okay. So your skin, it's thought that your skin turns over every 2 to 4 weeks, totally new skin every month.
Ooh.
Your intestine every 3 days.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That's so many makeovers happening.
Totally.
Whoa. But we're the same person, but we're different people. Does that ever trip you out emotionally? Like if you ever have a beef with someone, are you like, well, technically they are a different person?
No.
Okay.
Well, brains don't really regenerate at the same level as your epithelial tissues, which are the coverings and linings of your body, like your skin.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about skin and hair. Why is it such a different beast than the rest of your body? Like what is it doing? Why is it such a hustler?
So your skin is your presentation of yourself to the world, mm-hmm. but it's also the first way you're protecting yourself from your environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there to protect you from any pathogens in our environment. It's also there to hold in the water in our bodies and keep everything inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to get insulted by damage. So it has to regenerate.
Is that a scientific term, insulted?
Sure.
Oh, that'd be so great if you're like, an insult to the dermis.
No, yes, totally. I know I've written that sometime.
Really?
I'm sure.
It's more than just a glove slap. It's like sun damage and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And how are skin and hair kind of lumped together?
So it's very important that we understand all the cell types that go into making the skin. And that's sort of been a major area of research in the last probably 15 years is mm-hmm. trying to understand what are all the different cell types that make up the skin. And that's one of the focal points of my lab is trying to understand in the dermis in particular, what are the cells that go into making the skin?
And still the largest organ, or I know that there's been research saying that there's an intermesh under our skin that is now the largest organ. Have you heard of that? Some spongy, like fluid filled intermesh that they're like, this is a new organ. This is the biggest organ.
No.
Skin is the biggest organ.
Correct.
So in March of 2018, which is like 5 seconds ago in historical medical history terms, researchers at NYU may have discovered the largest organ in the body, thus knocking our leathery blood bag right off its pedestal. So this very heavy air quotes new largest organ is called the interstitium, and it is a spongy network of connective tissue. It's made of elastin and collagen, and it holds a bunch of your body juice. So like fluids, lymph, other things I don't want to touch. Now, this newest, biggest human organ made for some pretty splashy headlines, but not all doctors are on board. Not all of them are like, yes, it's the new biggest organ. So for now, let's just say skin remains the biggest organ, which is still weird.
Why is it an organ if it's a big, like it's essentially fondant?
Mm.
How is fondant a cake layer? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, but it's smarter than that.
Okay.
Like, so I like to say like the coverings of cells are not like saran wrap. It's not like that we just have saran wrap. We have like smart saran wrap, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it actually has to respond to our environment. Like if you get sun, you get a tan
mm-hmm.
and that goes to protect you from the UV rays that you might have later. So, you know, it has a function. So all of our tissues have a function and the skin is a protective barrier to our environment. So
what's hair doing? Let's get to hair.
Yeah. So hair is also a protective, we call it an appendage.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
So you have millions of appendages growing out of all of your body?
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting. I mean, I love it, but it's disgusting.
Yeah. So it grows from the same cells that make up our epidermis, the outer part of the skin,
mm-hmm.
during development. And some of those cells are told to be hair follicles.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we have hair in certain places.
And so what is the evolutionary function of hair? Why do we have it? Why do we have these long flowing tresses on our scalp, but other hairs give up at a certain length? And they're like, I'm out of here. I grew enough
on your thigh, I'm jumping ship.
So I think the function of hair is warmth. And I believe also that there's some sort of like social selection probably for why we have hair in certain regions.
Oh.
Like it's not clear to me why we have hair only on our heads that's long. And
right.
Whereas monkeys, our next closest ancestor, have it pretty much all over their whole body.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if monkeys had ponytails?
Yes.
Can you imagine if you saw a monkey with like one of those ponytails that like a dude who works on motorcycles would have? I'm having a moment.
Hold up. I looked into this. And as Valerie will expound upon, the length of time in the anagen or growth stage determines how long a hair can get. And the reason why humans may have longer growth phases on head hair could be because we evolved with less body hair, so we needed the head hair for warmth and cooling and protection from the sun. Or, it could have evolved because styling is a form of looking good to a potential mate.
Monkeys have all over similar types of follicles.
Correct.
Is it a different type of follicle that makes our head hair grow long?
So we do have different hair follicles. So the thicker hair is different than the thin hair that we have like on our forehead. Mm-hmm. But the reason it grows so long is something called the hair cycle.
Okay.
So there's a growth cycle that all of your hair follicles go through. And when it's growing, it can stay there for years, such as when you're on your head.
Yeah.
Or for a short time, like the small hairs that you have on your forehead.
So a growth cycle. So What's the typical growth cycle for a body hair?
So we don't actually know that much about how the hair cycles in humans. Mm-hmm. But we know that the hairs on your head can grow for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And then eventually the growth portion will die and regress. And then it'll just sit there and rest.
Really? So Your hair is growing, growing, growing. And then at one point it's like,
all done.
And it just sits all there. Done.
Yep.
Doesn't grow.
Yep. And then There are stem cells that are at the base of the hair follicle that say, okay, it's time to grow a new hair follicle. So it'll grow a new hair follicle. Mm-hmm. And then the old one gets ejected.
Boink.
Boink.
And then, can you explain to me? I'm so sorry. I don't know why there's a parade of Mack trucks on my street right now. I'm going to close those windows. Hold on.
Literally, I'm like, is it garbage day? What is happening, people? I mean, my apartment's always loud, but that is next level, you guys. Come on.
Note, I paused the recording here to close the windows.
I am a little bit embarrassed that I just don't know this. What is a stem cell? I should know what this is, and I don't.
So stem cells are cells that are long-lived.
Okay.
And they have the ability to regenerate themselves as well as form a differentiate into a tissue-specific cell.
Okay.
So we have stem cells in all of our tissues, And we start from a stem cell, the embryonic stem cell, that can build every cell type in the body.
Okay.
But in adults, all of our tissues have stem cells that allow us to regenerate our tissues.
So a stem cell is saying, okay, I'm here, I'm going to turn into a new hair follicle, and it starts morphing into a hair follicle.
Correct.
So do you do research on stem cells as well and like their potential for therapeutic use? Oh, how is that going? Like in general for life, for all of us?
So it's going well, I would say. I believe it's definitely going to be therapeutic in the future.
When I was a kid, I remember, do you remember the Guinness Book of World Records? Mm-hmm. And there'd be people like the longest nails and hair and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember being like seven and being like, when I grow up, I'm going to have the longest armpit hair in the world. I'm never going to cut it. And then was very dismayed to learn that armpit hair is like,
doesn't grow that long.
Sorry, dog.
Yeah.
I'm out.
It only has a short growth cycle, growth mm-hmm. stage, and then it stops growing.
And so the hair on our head, some of it is, we don't know, has stopped growing and is about to go ba-boink.
Correct.
Now, is it different for different people? Why do some people have really thick hair? I have llama hair, which is presently unwashed. And I'm sorry, I wanted to wash it before you guys got here and I just didn't.
I can't tell.
Oh, it's a mess. Why do some people have thick hair? Some people have thinner hair. What's happening?
So you can have a different number of hair follicles.
Oh, okay.
You can have different size follicles. So I think blondes tend to have thinner hair than brunettes. They can have thicker hair follicles. Mm-hmm. And it's probably also the structure of the hair follicle that kind of gives you body, what we call body.
Okay. So I did a little follow-up on this. And blondes, your strands are thinner. At least they tend to be. But you do have more strands, like around 150,000 hairs, while brunettes have around 100,000. Because part of hair's function is to make sure your scalp doesn't turn into sun bacon. So if you have less bulky hairs with less protective melanin, you're going to have more of them. Now, if you have glossy, rich, dark hair, you're going to need fewer of them. So no matter, your hair is like a big dead pile of tiny ropes telling the sun to find a different head to scorch. Now those curls, if your hair follicles are asymmetrical and oval shaped, one side of the hair shaft might have thicker keratin and kind of like a gift wrap ribbon that curls when you shave down one side with scissors, boing, you got springy coils. Now straight hair is the result of a symmetrical round follicle. That's whether you're a muskrat or a sheep or your cousin or whatever.
So we use mice for our research, and there were some strains of mice that had wavy hair. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of know a few molecules that can induce curly hair because of those genetic studies.
And for you yourself, do you think about your work when you, because you have lovely blonde hair.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you think about your hair when you're getting it cut or done?
Yes.
Do you think about it like structurally? Because my hair is a, if my hair could write a book, it would be on Oprah. It'd be a sad book because I, like, my hair is curly and gray and brown and I'd straighten it and dye it red. Like,
yeah.
What am I doing to it?
It's okay.
You sure?
Yeah. Because really your hair shaft, that's the part that you see outside the hair follicle, is mostly protein. And it's, we call it dead.
Okay.
Because it's not really living cells that are reproducing themselves.
Okay.
It's just a fiber that's made into like this rope-like structure that forms a hair follicle.
It's a dead appendage. You have over 5 million dead appendages growing out of your body. Can you handle that? We are such weird, goofy monsters.
It's just beautiful.
And so it's alive. Is it almost like it's alive until it sprouts out of your skin, at which point it's dead? Because it's got to be alive somewhere in the bulb, right?
Correct. So there's this very crazy, robust structure that makes the hair shaft that we see outside. Mm-hmm. It's 7 different cell lineages form the hair follicle.
What? Okay, explain this.
Yeah. So at the base of the hair follicle, there are cells that are highly proliferative and they're dividing and making new ones. Mm-hmm. And those go up into 7 different lineages and they sort of make these concentric circles. So 3 of them go into making the hair shaft that you see outside. Mm-hmm. And then 3 of them go to make this channel that guides the hair out of the skin surface.
Whoa.
And then there's a couple more that sort of allow the regeneration in the stem cells to be maintained.
So it's a real teamwork effort.
Very much so.
Rapid fire round. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
So many questions. So many questions. It's really, we'll just go through them as fast as we can.
But before we take questions from you, our beloved listeners, we're going to take a quick break for sponsors of the show. Sponsors? Why sponsors? You know what they do? They help us give money to different charities every week. So if you want to know where Ologies gives our money, you can go to alleyward.com and look for the tab Ologies Gives Back. There's like 150 different charities that we've given to already with more every single week. So if you need a place to go donate a little bit of money, but you're not sure where to go, those are all picked by ologists who work in those fields. And this ad break allows us to give a ton of money to them. So thanks for listening and thanks, sponsors. I know I usually save my secrets for the end of the episode, but I'm going to tell you my secret favorite candy. It's Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. It's really Reese's anything, but Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the thing that I'm like, have I had a bad day? I get these. Have I had a good day? I get these. Chocolate, salty peanut butter, the textures. I love everything about them. Also that there's 2. So I'm like, oh, I get this one for later, which is 1 second later. Anyway, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, I love you. That's all. If you're me, you can shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and I am. Oh, hi, it's me, the lady that checks a bunch of scholarly articles before she believes anything, Allie Ward. And I feel like we are similar in that we have a fair amount of skepticism and we like to dive deep and find out what the actual facts are. This is why when it comes to any kind of supplements, I enjoy Ritual, which is a female-founded B Corp, meaning that they're holding themselves accountable to not just the company, but also to the health of people in our planet. And they're clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has these high-quality, traceable key ingredients in bioavailable forms that are clean. Only about 1% of supplement brands are USP verified, and Ritual is one of them. So I like being able to trust what I'm putting in my body. From an aesthetic standpoint, I'll also tell you that Ritual are beautiful little vitamins. They look like lava lamps and they taste like mint. So taking my Ritual is part of my, I guess, morning ritual. That's probably why they named it that and I didn't even think about it. Anyway, no more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. So get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/ologies. You can start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/ologies for 25% off. Down the hatch. Okay. Your questions.
Zoe Teplik wants to know, I need to know, I swear I lose so much hair in the shower and through brushing and styling, but somehow I'm not bald yet. In fact, my hair is still thick. How is this?
That's the hair cycle, the regenerative cycle. So when you're losing hair, it's just the normal process of growing a new hair follicle.
So it's like, don't trip. It's already dead.
Yes.
And it was always, it was chilling, taking a nap anyway.
Correct.
Before it popped out of there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And some people just have more hair follicles like per square millimeter or something,
correct,
right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know. So you're fine, Zoe. Brian Edge wants to know, why do I occasionally get these really thick hairs in my beard? They're much darker than their comrades. What's happening?
So again, it's the cells that are attaching to the hair follicle that are making it a different structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's darker because there's more melanin, that product that's made by the melanocytes that is pumping into it to make it darker.
I always think it's interesting how dudes' beards are sometimes like orange,
mm-hmm,
but their face hair or their,
correct,
head hair is brown.
Yeah. Yeah. So during development, the cells that are going to make the pigment,
mm-hmm,
they come from what's called the neural crest.
Ooh.
And they kind of migrate from like the spine area into the different regions. And so they populate the beard differently than the scalp.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. So red beards.
Mm-hmm.
I always wonder about that because I'm like, it doesn't match at all.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like this,
yes,
copper face carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, what's happening, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting. A little further poking around reveals that red beards are caused by a mutation on the MC1R gene. So if you have two mutated genes, you're a ginger all the way. But only one of them can cause red hair to pop up in weird places. Like, for example, your handsome face.
Mark Larson wants to know, can you get stem cells from hair? Like, can,
yes,
you harvest them?
I can. I know how to.
Really? How do you do,
mm-hmm,
it?
You take the skin and, mm-hmm, you treat it with an enzyme that's going to basically break up all the bonds between the cells.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can use a machine that we call a flow sorter,
mm-hmm,
where we basically sort them out from the other cells.
Is there something about their weight or their size that makes them easier to sort?
No, it's the proteins that they have on their surface.
Oh.
So we can use that to our advantage to get them away from the other cells in the tissue.
Does that, now is it, it's a proteins, but not the carbohydrates. So this is not glycobiology related.
Well, we could use some carbohydrates if we knew.
Mm-hmm.
But most often we use specific proteins.
Okay. Amber and Jonathan Mead have a joint question. How does gray hair work? Why do some strands turn gray earlier than others? And they say, I feel like I've seen hair that's gray at the root, but not the rest of the strand. And I will say that my temples are very professorial. They're very George Clooney in the temple area. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
So, like stem cells that grow the hair shaft, there, mm-hmm, are stem cells for the melanocytes that put the color in the hair.
Mm-hmm.
And when those cells die, you have a gray hair.
Oh.
And what can cause that? Stress can cause those cells to die.
No.
Yep.
So that's not a myth? You know, I feel like they always show side by side of like before they were president, after they were president.
Yeah, and stress. Exactly.
The gray hair is crazy.
You, yeah,
know, my grandma, completely gray by 30.
Mm-hmm.
She also had 11 children.
Wow. Yes. A little stress in there.
A little bit. Okay. So I didn't know that stress can do that.
BTW, when I was writing this, a friend happened to randomly text me to say she found a hair that was white at the end and darker at the root. And I was like, girl, I'm writing the Trichology episode. And she was like, what? No way. Anyway, I looked it up and it's called stuttering. And a hair can pick up pigment as it grows. It's like, oops, oops, here you go.
I love that it's like our melanin cells are like out to lunch.
Yes.
He even wants to know, do hair and nails grow at different rates? In your work researching the regeneration of skin and hair, are nails kind of part of the same bag?
So nails are also an appendage. Ooh. And they have their own stem cells.
Wow.
And we're just starting to learn about those. I don't study them, but there's a woman in New York that I know that does. Yeah.
Do they have different rates? Like, can your nails grow really fast, but your hair is like boom, ba-doom, ba-doom? That's the international noise for slow.
But yes, they definitely have different rates.
What's your favorite thing about what you do? What makes you super, super excited?
Discovering new things about biology is awesome. But I think also mentoring the students and watching them grow over the years is really amazing.
Just seeing them grow their own hairy wings and fly.
Yes, they become little scientists. It's very cool.
This was amazing. Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Remember, feel free to ask smart people all the questions you want because they're super nice. To find out more about Dr. Valerie Horsley's work, you can visit horsley.yale.edu. Now, Ologies is at Ologies on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Allie Ward with one L on both.
Also linked is allieward.com/smologies, which has dozens more kid-safe and shorter episodes you can blaze through. And thank you, Mercedes Maitland of Maitland Audio, for editing those. And since we like to keep things small around here, the rest of the credits are in the show notes.
And if you stick around until the end of the episode, I give you a piece of my worldly, wardly advice. And this one is sometimes if you are getting up in the morning and you're having a sluggish morning and you're like, oh gosh, we got a whole day ahead of us. Maybe you're brushing your teeth. Maybe you're having oatmeal. Maybe you're on the bus. I don't know. It helps me to think of things that went right the day before. So if I ever feel intimidated by something, I think, hey, that went a lot better yesterday than I thought it was going to go. Oh, hey, that went right. Hey, that went right. And it always gives me like a little pep in my step in terms of, you don't know how today's going to turn out. And chances are there's going to be a lot of things that go right. So get right into it. All right. Bye-bye.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.